welcome to another episode of the Pastor's Inbox on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. In our last conversation, we talked about having a plurality of elders within a local church. Now I want to ask you, brothers, how these elders relate to one another. So the title of this episode is Parity in Eldership. So what do we mean by parity within the eldership?
Well, the very word parity, it speaks of equality, and that's what we're talking about, equality and having and exercising God-given authority. Before going any further, though, recall that there are, as our brother Joe said in the previous episode, really only these two permanent offices in the local church, and I think Joe referred to Philippians 1:1. King James, New King James, the bishops, New American Standard has overseers, but the bishops and the deacons. And as we've seen in the past, then, that means they had more than one of each of these, a plurality of deacons, but also a plurality of bishops or overseers, offices in which men are entrusted by the Lord with authority to be exercised for on his behalf and for the sake of his churches. But again, only two offices, not deans and rectors and chief cook and bottle washer or assistant chief cook and bottle washer. You know, and the titles actually show that, you know, not just a plurality, but also that there are the degree, or shall I say, who's higher in authority, if I might put it that way, because it's literally overseers. That is, they're the overseers of the church, and deacons means servants. So you got the overseers and the servants of the church. But again, it's two offices, and we're only given means for recognizing these two offices in the church. That is 1 Timothy 3, which has both elders or overseers and deacons. Now, it is true that we've different words which speak of this higher office in the local church, you know, bishops, or as I've said, overseers. That word seems to be more of Greek origin, and it's one who oversees, one who superintends, who guides, who governs. Then you've got the word elders. Perhaps that's more of Jewish origin, you know, the Old Testament and even in the synagogue. But again, it's recognized. These are those who ruled and led the people. And then the word pastor there in Ephesians 4, it means shepherd. And so like a shepherd, protecting and feeding as one who leads. Like in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, leads me in the paths of righteousness. Well, that's what shepherds do. And these are not different offices, and nor do they refer to a distinction among those in authority, but as our brother Joe pointed out in the previous episode, these are used interchangeably or synonymously. He referred to Acts chapter 20. You know, in verse 17, we're told how Paul called for the elders, plural, of the church in Ephesus. And so they came to him there in Miletus, and then he addresses all of them in verse 28 when he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So these are elders, we're told, from Ephesus, there, Acts 20:17, and yet these elders were made overseers, or bishops is the word, by the Holy Spirit, and they were all to shepherd, that is to pastor, is the verb form of pastor, the church of God. So elders are bishops, overseers, and elders are pastors, all of them in that one office.
Right.
And we see the same thing, I think, Joe, you referred to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, where Peter's addressing the elders, and he tells them that they are to shepherd, that is, again, the verb form, to pastor, and to do so, to serve as overseers, that's bishops. So both of these verses show these are synonymous terms, not three offices or anything, but just one office, different descriptions or different titles for it. But now coming back to the question at hand, how do these relate to one another? And is there parity, this equality in their authority? And the answer to that is yes. And we see indication that all in this office in a local church are indeed equal in authority. I've just referred to Acts 20:28. Well, it was said to all of those elders of the church of Ephesus equally. That is, they were equally made overseers by the Holy Spirit. And so equally, every one of those elders was to take heed and to shepherd all the flock. Not some of you this way more than other. No, they're all spoken to. Same thing, the 1 Peter 5 passage. There's no distinction there between teaching elder and ruling elder. They're all addressed equally. The elders who are among you, and they were all equally responsible to shepherd the flock and to serve as overseers. Now, we'll look more in the next episode, I trust, at any distinction in their labors. But the point is, they all have equal authority. 1 Timothy 5:17, which speaks of the different functions. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Well, what does that mean, except that not all elders labor in the word and doctrine, right? Especially those who do, but wait a minute, not all do. And yet all elders rule, even those who are bivocational, who have not been set apart for laboring in the word and in doctrine. They are here spoken of right alongside the laborers in the word and doctrine as elders. And the word suggests that some elders may rule better than others. Elders who rule well. Well, that would mean some may not. But they're still elders. And there's not the slightest hint of any distinction in their authority. In fact, the text shows that a non-vocational elder may rule well and be counted worthy of double honor, whatever that would include. We also see that those who labor in the word are called elders. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're called something else. No, right alongside these other elders. They're not called the pastor, the teaching elder, or anything else. They're in this text simply called elders. Not a separate office, but equally so with those others who are ruling that are called elders. So the point is, there's not two tiers within the eldership of this guy's got more authority than that guy. They all rule, and they should all aim to do it well, and they should be honored for so doing. Well, that's what I think we mean by parity. We could appeal to 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. That's not to several churches. That's written to the church, one church, Thessalonica. And we've already used this in proving the plurality of elders. Well, so too it proves parity because all of them were to be recognized. All of them were to be esteemed very highly in love for their work's sake with no distinction. But those especially who are preaching, they are, no, all of them. Hebrews 13:17, those who rule over you, as they must give an account, they watch for your souls. Well, that means all of them equally. They are all equally to watch for souls. They are all equally accountable to God for watching for those souls. And verse 17 there in Hebrews 13, all the members are called to be submissive to all of those who rule over them. That is, all of the elders. Well, does that not show then parity of rule? Now, this does not necessarily mean that they are all equal in influence. You would think that those with a greater profile are likely to have more influence. Nor does it mean there's parity in opportunity or parity in gifts or in wisdom or for that matter, function in the eldership. But they are equal in authority. That's the point. If they're an elder, then if this guy's an elder, he has all the authority Scripture assigns to each elder, whether he's the preacher or not, whether he's younger in the faith or not, younger in years or not, less gifted, etc. Where in Scripture do we find any two-tier rank among elders, pastors? Now, some have argued for the main preaching, teaching pastor to be considered first among equal, perhaps referring to or appealing to those seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, where it says to the angel of the church. We mustn't think that means some spirit being. The word angel simply means messenger. So there's the messenger of the church. And therefore, some would say, so that makes this guy then the main teaching preaching guy first among equals. Well, even if that's the case, he's first among equals. Mm-hmm. He's not first and everybody else is second rate. He's first among equals as the God appointed authority. In fact, pastors are each other's pastor in a plurality of elders. Joe, with your fellow elders there in Owensboro, they're your pastor. Scott Holland is my pastor. Mm-hmm. So again, it points to that parity of rule, of authority. Well, mm-hmm. Joe, brother, add to it.
Not much I can add to that, brother. I will say one of my fellow elders, as they say, wrote the book on this subject, literally. So I could recommend that anyone find Pastor Sam Waldron's book and read it. It's entitled, I think, In Defense of Parity. In it, Pastor Sam says, I, with a few other men, defend the notion, which many of us hold as Reformed Baptists, I defend the notion that there is no official distinction to be made between the different elders of the church. That's what he means by parity. In other words, such a view of parity says that biblically all elders are pastors, all pastors are elders. While there may be, and we'll probably get into this some more, actually we will in the next episode, while there may be diversity in an eldership, there must still be parity. If the eldership is to function as it is supposed to, according to the New Testament, all pastors are equal in calling and their authority. And this is why we kind of steer away from language like senior pastor, at our church. Now, my daughter, as you all know, who has Down syndrome, she gets in the habit sometimes of calling someone, usually not her dad, calling someone the high pastor. And so we have to reel her in and tell her that we don't have a high pastor and a low pastor. We just have pastors. All of these elders must be competent in their knowledge of the Word of God. They must be able to counsel with the Word of God, and they must, according to Timothy and Titus, be able to teach unto edification. And all of them will have equal say in the leadership of the church. We have three elders. Each elder gets one vote if we're discussing any question as to how the church is to be led. You know, I've often heard people say, that won't work. That won't work. Every ship has to have a captain. Well, we do, and our captain's name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're all under him and his leadership, and we, as equal elders under him, must seek to be united together to carry out his will. You say, well, don't y'all ever have disagreements among yourselves? Yeah, we do. And when we do, we have to have the humility to listen to the other person's opinion. And we have to be ready to change. And I can say that every one of the elders of our church have at times had their minds changed by the good arguments of a fellow elder on a subject, and sometimes even by the wisdom and counsel of our church members, who, by the way, are not without the wisdom of God also. Whenever we do have any kind of disagreement, since I'm on that subject, we always try to pray until we become convinced that we are one and we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. On a rare occasion, one elder may need to be willing to submit to the majority opinion. If we have three elders, sometimes two may feel more strongly about something than the third one does, and the third one then gets the opportunity to exercise humility and grace in realizing that he's in the minority. I'll just say this. Those who say that parity doesn't work should be careful, because I know they do not mean this, but they're questioning the wisdom of Christ. If it does work, because our Lord Jesus Christ is wise. And of course it can be done wrong, like everything can, but I've seen it work beautifully. And I thank God that I believe that I'm part of an eldership that has a beautiful parity also. So those are my thoughts on the subject. Back to you, Austin.
Yeah, these are excellent thoughts, and I hope that they're helpful to our listeners. Thank you for talking about the ways that elders are equal in calling and authority. In the next conversation, we'll talk about how they have functional differences and some ways that this is observed, and we're looking forward to that conversation. If you have any other questions, though, pertaining to eldership within a church, parity, diversity, plurality, feel free to submit them to pastors.inbox@cbtseminary.org. Grace and peace to you. God bless.